There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Riders. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 437, June 27th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting, proud sponsor of the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Ferrari slam Valencia results. 9 drivers receive penalties. Mark Webber, what was he thinking? Kobayashi is the dude of the hour. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Oh, I'm not too bad, you know, with the football and the Formula One. It's just one big...
It's a continuous seat in front of the tube.
I'm telling you, instead of buying 6 packs of Stella Artois, I should have just went for the kegger.
Should have bought yourself a mini keg for the next 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, because, man, I'm telling you, I admit it. I'm a slut for this kind of stuff. And, of course, controversy everywhere. Formula One, then, of course, the Germany-England game where the goal went in. But I think the referees were just thinking about Fernando and how bummed out he was. And then also, I mean, it just went on with the Mexico-Argentina game. So, exciting stuff. But anyway, let's go right to qualifying in Valencia. Beautiful weather. No chance of rain. That's why I think they should definitely change the date of this venue.
Yeah, definitely. Get it in the earlier in the spring so that maybe we can get a little moisture on the track. You know, maybe flip-flop it with Spain. Maybe just shake it up. Maybe we could get a storm. But, yeah, beautiful weather. You know, tourist board in Valencia is going, woohoo!
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got the pictures of the girls and the bikinis and the pools. And they have swimming pools that are right on the edge of the building. So you could be in the pool and watch qualifying, which is really exciting. But anyway, let's go right to it. And first man out is Jarno Trulli. And I'm thinking already, you know, with all the excitement we had in Canada, this could be sort of anticlimactic.
Yeah, especially since we know we're not going to see any issues with the tires like we saw in Canada.
And Bridgestone admitted to that.
Yeah, and Bridgestone was really happy with the tire issues because it doesn't really make them look exceptionally good. But we can see that's going. We've got a couple of things going on this weekend. We've got some updates for a couple of teams. It might shake things up a little bit. Let me see. What was it?
Renault and Ferrari coming out with the Red Bull blown diffuser.
And Mercedes. With the blown diffuser in the back. And in practice, it looked like it was giving them a little bit of extra oomph. But I don't know if that's going to carry over to quali.
I know. But 10 minutes to go. 10 minutes into the first qualifying session, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, Jenson Button, Mark Webber, and Sebastian Vettel. In practice, Nico Rosberg was looking very strong. Mercedes seemed to have made a step forward. Of course, we expected Ferrari with the cheating test in Fiorino for the press or media event. They were pretty excited. And, of course, Red Bull coming out with the F-duct.
Yeah, and basically, that was pretty much the difference, apparently, for Red Bull. Nico's been doing this a lot this season, and he used to do it with Williams a bit, where he would just have these phenomenal practice sessions, and can't seem to carry that pace into quali and the race.
Yes, that's very true. Mercedes still have a lot of issues to sort out.
Yes.
They're certainly not the team that won the world championship last year.
No, but I think Braun got such a huge head start having their double diffuser at the beginning of the season that really they were able to maintain just enough pace ahead of everybody to stay. And also, basically, what they, you know, they won the big boatload of races early in the season, which was enough to carry them through.
Exactly. Kubica didn't go out for the first 10 minutes in the Q1 session, which was bizarre. But when he finally went out, bam-o, right to the top.
Yeah, I was like, I was watching him going, why is Robert not setting the time? What's going on here?
Because Renault is sophisticated, dude. They're trying to do something strategic here.
Yeah, but this is Valencia, dude. I don't think I want to put it off that late. Somebody's going to put it in the wall and block the track, and you're going to be SOL.
Yeah, but anyway, so I thought Robert Kubica and Renault were looking pretty strong.
Vitaly.
Manager. I don't remember it either, but that's okay. But very exciting stuff. 1 minute to go. Robert Kubica, you know, and there's a lot of talk about Robert Kubica could be replacing Michael Schumacher if Schumacher hangs up his helmet at the end of this season.
You know, frankly, if I'm Robert Kubica at the moment, I don't want to jump ship from Renault. Renault's
moving, ahead of Mercedes.
And they're moving forward. And they're we really haven't seen Renault be this competitive in like 3 years.
I agree.
And they've really finally gotten a hold of this car and are really putting in, basically are keeping pace and slowly closing the gap to Ferrari and also to the Red Bulls and McLarens.
We're going to be back. You'll see.
The way they look this weekend, they could easily win a race this year if they just get the dominoes to fall the right way.
Exactly. So out in the first session was, of course, Bruno Senna, Karun Chandhuk, Timo Glock, Luca Di Grassi, Jarno Trulli, Heikki Kovalainen, and
in the spot of shame,
Kamui Kobayashi. Which is pretty stunning that De La Rosa makes it through and he doesn't.
Yeah, well, there was literally, with like, what was it, less than 2 minutes to go, Michael Schumacher was out.
Exactly.
In the first session.
I mean, they were struggling really, really bad.
And it was basically, he just squeezed out, managed to get himself up into, I think he ended up in the end of that session in like 12th or 13th. But it was looking bad for them.
Yeah, he was 16th and then finally popped up the 13th or 12th, like you said. So pretty bizarre. Let's go right to Q2. Ferrari comes out first. They're in the front of the red light. And I don't know. You know, I watched the BBC coverage for these races. And the BBC, Martin Brundle and Eddie Jordan, I think they're obsessed with Michael Schumacher. They just can't stop talking about him. They try to interview him. Of course, he's going to shunt them because they have insulted him. I don't even see why they tried on the grid walk, but still, they are obsessed with Michael Schumacher.
Well, part of it is because they raced against him.
But still, yes, I know Martin Brundle was Schumacher's teammate, but still, I mean, come on. And of course, Eddie Jordan discovered him, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, well, apparently, Michael still sells. Well, I guess on the BBC, you're not really trying to sell advertising. So, I don't know. Gets ratings?
Perhaps. And, you know, I don't know. And Schumacher is not too happy with the BBC coverage. But anyway, I think they're a little obsessed, and I think they should just leave him alone.
Well, you know, at least talk about somebody. You know, there are 20-something other drivers on the grid.
Exactly. Q2, 10 minutes left. Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Vitaly Petrov, and Rubinho. I don't know what's going on at Williams, but they both had a bowl of Wheaties.
Yeah, they were both looking pretty strong this weekend for the first time, really, this season. And our buddy Nico managing to keep the car on the track, which, you know, always pays dividends.
Exactly. And at the end of Q2, everybody was out on track. It was very impressive. And, of course, Michael Schumacher and Nico Rosberg are both out in Q2.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing weekend for the two Mercedes, though Nico manages to out-qualify the two Force Indias, but Michael doesn't.
Yeah, but what's stunning is both Williams make it into the top 10.
Yeah, which is like, huh? I think they've only had one car in the top 10 like twice all season.
Shocking.
You know, so obviously the track suits the Williams, and the updates that they brought this week apparently are paying dividends for them. Also out in the session are the two STR Ferraris of Sebastian Buemi and Jaime Alguersuari. And, like I said, the two Force Indias. And then also Pedro De La Rosa in his BMW Sauber Ferrari. BMW did, or Sauber managed to get their name change approved, but it won't take effect till next season.
Yes. And that's the way it was when I was in Canada, in the back of the paddock, when you went to their hospitality
suite
area. It said BMW Sauber.
This seems kind of ridiculous.
Well, you'd think they'd tape over that, but they don't. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And
you know, Ferrari can't be exceptionally happy. You know, they're probably making them pay an extra surcharge for having their name mentioned in the same sentence with BMW.
It's bizarre. But anyway, let's go right to Q3. Of course, everybody's thinking, can Red Bull do it? They're looking good.
They're looking very fast. The
McLarens didn't look that great in practice, but apparently, all of a sudden, in Q3, they looked unbelievable.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Maybe they were running a lot of heavy fuel laps. They didn't really do any really, you know, quali-type runs during practice. But, you know, Lewis is one of those guys, though, when you kind of put the carrot in front of him, he puts the hammer down.
Similar to Vettel and Mark Webber.
He throws Fernando into that group. Basically, when you put that challenge in front of them, for some reason they just that little bit extra to their game that makes them just that much more quicker.
Exactly. 6 minutes ago, Williams still hasn't gone out, and I wasn't sure what was going on there. And it was Lewis Hamilton right to the top, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa ahead of Fernando Alonso, rounding off the top five. Then all of a sudden, Mark Webber goes to P1. Williams finally comes out with 4 minutes to go as Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, and Felipe Massa. And quickly, I want to mention that this is Williams' 100th race since they've won
a
race.
Oh, wow.
When I believe that was Juan Pablo Montoya in Brazil.
Shocking. Eons ago.
But there you have it. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:37.587 takes pole position.
Squeezes it out right after. Well, I think he got it after the checker drops and aces Mark Webber out of the pole position. But it is a Renault 1-2. A Red Bull 1-2 again.
You could say Red Bull Renault.
Yeah. A Red Bull Renault 1-2 again for what I think they were saying fourth time this season that
they had
the 1-2 and you know
and the fourth pole for. Our friend Monsieur Vettel. Of course, Lewis Hamilton in third, Fernando Alonso fourth, Felipe Massa fifth, Robert Kubica sixth, Jenson Button seventh, Nico Hülkenberg eighth, ahead of Rubinho.
But they did actually post identical times.
Yes, and
Vitaly Petrov
rounding off the top 10. So
and just a note, 1 second separated the top 10.
Yes.
In that final
which
session.
Which is pretty
amazing.
Well, it's typical this year.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. So, there you have it. A lot of talk about, well, Red Bull just, you know, because the passing is brutal here. Even though in the GP2 race, there was tons of passing.
Yeah. I think basically the GP2 car is a little bit better evenly matched. And you can kind of take advantage of certain spots on the track. There are a couple spots on this track where you can pass, but even there, it's a little on the dicey side. And you've got to be prepared to make that pass because we saw a couple of times during the race coming into that pit straight where the guy in front makes a mistake, but the guy behind him cannot capitalize because he's not ready to pounce.
Exactly. But so we're all prepared for a great race, and of course, everybody's also excited about Germany and England. That game was scheduled right after this race.
Woo-hoo.
Literally. So, a lot of talk between the guys, of course, at Mercedes Grand Prix, McLaren, and of course Red Bull, Sebastian Vettel being German. So, very exciting stuff. Everybody's pumped up with the football and the Formula One.
It's a good time to be a European sports fan.
Exactly. Anyway, let's go right to the race. Once again, it's, you know, the weather is great. It's actually quite warm.
sun shining, temperatures in the high for this afternoon, so it should be fun.
Yeah, and everybody's wearing their cool jackets.
Their cooling vests.
Which is very cool, literally. Anyway, let's go right to the start of a race, and it's a pretty good, exciting start.
Pretty clean start, very exciting start, in that Lewis, being on the clean side of the track, manages to give Mark Webber a run and basically dusts him off.
Mark Webber, I don't know what happened to him on this start, but he drops like 9 back.
No, Lewis Hamilton, he drops 2-9. He lost 7 places before the end of the first lap.
Right.
And it's just basically starting on the dirty side of the track. He got did not really get off the line well. I think he was being careful to make sure he didn't spin his wheels, but
this
it really
Formula
cost.
This is Formula One. He lost 7 places, as you said. He was in P9 at the end of lap 1. Of course, Sebastian Vettel holding off and guarding P1. He touched wheels with Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton's front wing got a bit damaged. Fernando Alonso, Adrian Sutil passes his teammate Vitantonio Liuzzi, and Lewis Hamilton radios in right away, says, I think I was hit.
No, he goes, he hit me.
Well, I'm trying.
I'm like, come on, buddy.
He's
we watched
excited.
The replays. It was basically they hit each other. There was really, if anything, Hamilton hits Vettel because Vettel's in front.
Yeah, and it was hard to see. You had to see a couple of replays to realize there was some contact. Lap 2, Lotus, Yonah Trulli's already back in the pits. Some kind of issue. Not sure what that was
actually
all about.
I think he got a wing ripped off in the schlemazel behind, going through the first two turns.
There was some back there. Of course, Michael Schumacher had a great start. He was up to P11. And unfortunately, my friend Vitaly Petrov had a terrible start. He was down to 15th from starting in 10th.
Yeah, not a good start for Vitaly.
Fast lap of the race, lap 2, Sebastian Vettel, 1.43.768. Lap 3, Mark Webber is stuck behind Nico Hülkenberg, and the team is telling him that everything's fine with your car. There's nothing wrong with your car, Mark. Would you just get on with it? It was ridiculous. Of course, team warns Fernando Alonso about some debris that's about to fall off Lewis Hamilton's car because he's close behind. And, he's got to be careful because if the front wing falls off, you don't want to get that stuck
you don't want to run over it either because it's instant puncture.
Exactly. Lap 4, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel. And Vettel is banging in the fast laps. Very impressive.
Yeah, he's pulling away from the field pretty quickly.
Yarno truly pits again.
Yeah.
I think they're just practicing.
Well, actually, I saw a shot in the pit. And it looked like it turns out to be a transmission issue because they brought him in. The first thing they did was change the steering wheel, and he was hitting the buttons, hitting the switch, and nothing's happening, and they just shut it off and rolled.
But he does get back out into the race eventually. He's a couple of laps down. Lap 5, the team tells Michael Schumacher that his brakes are too hot. Try to cool them down, and I'm going, it's only lap 5.
Yeah, well, the scary thing is about 10 laps later, they radio Nico and go, dude, save your brakes. You won't have enough for the race if you don't.
So, obviously, they've got some issues.
Yeah, it sounds to me, and the way, somebody put the decimal place in the wrong spot, and they end up with too thin of brakes for the race.
Not only that, but I think their brake ducts that bring that air in for cooling.
Yep, not big enough.
Not big enough. And, they're trying to keep that to a minimum. Because, of course, they cause drag.
Yep.
But if you can't finish the race because your...
Because you have brakes.
Brake rotors exploded, that could be a problem, too.
Yeah.
So they need to sort that out. Fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel on lap 5, 1.43.055. And, of course, I'm thinking, boy, okay, everything's sorted out. And this, we remember Valencia being famous for the procession.
Yeah.
And the procession had begun.
Yeah, pretty much. There's
some excitement?
Challenging going around.
Steve, tell me about the excitement that you see in Valencia.
Yeah, a couple of people giving people runs, and then we've got some real big excitement coming up here soon.
Yeah, well, lap 8, Mark Webber pits, which I thought was pretty quick, but that was a good idea. He was stuck behind Nico Hülkenberg. Why not get that tire change? And like in Canada, he could go on for 400 laps.
Exactly.
With these new street tires.
Yeah, go out for the rest of it.
And unfortunately, Bad start for Mark Webber. He pits. It's a bad pit stop. Something's wrong with the left front. And it's about the pit stop is twice as long as they anticipate. They're shooting for, 3 to 4 seconds. It was an 8 second stop.
Yeah.
So too bad for Mark Webber. Obviously
not going to be his weekend.
Well, maybe he's not using enough holy water. Not sure what's going on there, but
He just passed on going to the DNF chapel this week. And we know what can happen when you do that.
Yep. Fast lap of the race, lap 8. Fernando Alonso with a 1:42.566. Nico Rosberg pits, and he overshoots his box a little bit, which causes always a delay. He goes with the hard compound. And on lap 9,
wow.
Huge crash.
Wow.
I mean, and to be honest with you, when you see this, you just go, holy crap.
Exactly. You know it's a bad crash when you can see the underside of the car.
Yeah, and it flips, and he's airborne. It goes upside down on the ground, flips, and lands upright.
Yeah, and you're like going, holy crap, I hope he's okay, because, man, that was just nasty. But
once again, the safety that, sometimes we knock saves this guy's life.
Oh, big time. If this race had happened in the 70s or 80s, he's dead.
Yes, absolutely. It was unbelievable, and, of course, this was right up behind Heikki Kovalainen, and to be honest with you, as soon as I saw it, and I saw one replay, I'm thinking, Mark Webber, what in the world are you thinking?
Yeah, he almost looked like he was drafting Kovalainen and coming down
sure
the long straight.
He was drafting him.
But then he doesn't get out around him soon enough, and as soon as he tries to get out around, he's basically on Kovalainen's rear tire. That just shoots his car up into the sky. They saw one shot towards basically in the final wrap where they actually showed the camera shot.
Yes.
Him going upside down. It's whoa. Brutal.
But I'm telling you, a lot of people thought that the slower Lotuses, one of the three new teams, everybody's whining about especially Montezemolo, whining about they shouldn't be in Formula One, they're too slow. Everybody knows they're too slow.
Yeah.
Everybody knows they're going to break early,
yep.
Earlier than everybody else. Why in the world would you be that close to the back of a Lotus? You don't need to be drafting a slow car in the first
place.
No,
because you're
faster than the car per lap?
The Red Bull's going to be at the end of that straight is going to be, 10, 15 miles an hour faster than the Lotus. Just not a really smart move on Mark's part. I think part of it, too, is he's pushing because he wants to get back into the race because he's
had the issues. Problem.
And so he's thinking aggressive, but at the wrong moment in the race.
I think he was panicking, needed to get by the Lotus, and forgot what in the world was going on, and changed the entire complexity of this race.
Oh, basically the complexion. Well, I don't know if it completely changes the complexion, but it certainly makes a huge difference overall, just because, bang, as soon as the safety car is called in, everybody's in the pits.
Well, yes, and I couldn't even keep track of everybody pitting. But the controversy begins as this is all in slow motion. You see the safety car coming out, and guess who's right there with the safety car? Teflon Man himself. And I'm not talking Fernando. Fernando lost that title a long time ago.
But the same year that Teflon Man came into the series.
Exactly.
The series.
Teflon Man, Lewis Hamilton, passes. You could tell there's some hesitancy.
He's not completely Teflon because he was penalized for passing the safety car.
Yes,
but
454 laps later.
Well, not even that so much. It was the fact that the penalty they gave him was really a non-penalty because it did not change his position on the.
And I hate to say this, but I think now, even though I don't like the penalties, I just want them to go out there and race. But if you're going to put out penalties, make them effective for something.
Yeah.
Because he was clearly in breach of regulations when he passed the safety car under the yellow.
Yeah. Frankly, basically you got a drive through. And going back and looking at it now, 2020 hindsight, he should have been a stop and go at the very least just to hold him in the pits.
Well, I'm not going to get into that right now.
A little
but
longer.
The safety car is out. As you said, everybody pits. Button, Button, Barrichello, Buemi, Sutil, Hulkenberg. I mean, everybody. I can't even keep up.
Except for one person who waits to the next lap and pays a price for it, and that's Michael Schumacher.
Yes, Schumacher. Well, he had some bad luck this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially
the other thing about the safety car is that this safety car period is what actually generates all of the 5-second penalties that we saw or will see at the end of this race, because everybody was racing to the pits.
Correct.
Which is
a correct.
Big
and
no-no.
Once again, the safety car is brought into issue. But anyway, let's go back to at lap 10. It's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, and Jaime Alguersuari. They pit on the second lap. But Ferrari has to stack their cars. Felipe Massa's got to wait for Fernando. And the big problem is, by lap 11, it's a disaster for Ferrari. It's a disaster for Michael Schumacher, because he pits on the following lap. He comes out, and it's a red light.
Yep.
He thinks it's like being in the middle of downtown.
Yeah, he gets horrible timing for them, basically. He gets into the pits, he gets his tires, and he can't get out in time to beat the safety car back down the pit straight and get stopped at the end of pit lane.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think there's still so many issues to sort out with the safety car. I think that green light should be on, period. And deal with what happens when you come out on track, whether the safety car is going to be right next to you or is on the other side of the track.
Yeah, you basically, if it's in front of you, you basically slide in behind it. Yeah, safety car is important, but the way it's handled sometimes can make things a little...
Well, either call it a safety car or call it, I'm going to jumble up this race car.
Yeah.
Because this race now is completely different, where Fernando, as he says, was a meter behind Lewis Hamilton, is now in P11.
Yeah.
Shocking, but he is freaking out. And that's sort of part of the fun. Lap 13, safety car is still out. Lap 14, safety car will be coming in. Michael Schumacher pits again, goes with the hard compound, and Felipe Massa, who started this race fifth, is in P17. The end, the final curtain.
Yeah, if you're Felipe, you're like, I finally get a good qualifying result, and then this happens to me.
It's absolutely brutal. I have to admit, I can see why Ferrari at the end of this race was bitter.
Oh, yeah, big time. The safety car completely destroys their race. But for where the safety car came out, would have made a huge difference for them, because they would have been 3-4 instead of ending up in 11-12.
Yes.
It's just brutal.
It was brutal. Lap 15. Sebastian Vettel is now slowing the pack because they're getting ready to start.
He comes around that final corner.
And it was exciting.
Got everybody bunched up. And Lewis basically blows an opportunity to take the lead away from him.
Especially when he does that mistake and locks up the front when they're going around that one corner, which yep. I can't remember what it was. But it was exciting.
It was too hot
in the corner. Sebastian Vettel locks it up. And I thought for sure Lewis Hamilton was going to get by.
And that's that corner into pit straight.
Correct.
Where at least three different times where someone basically did what Vettel did, but the guy behind them just wasn't ready for it and just couldn't beat him back out of the corner and down that straight. Vettel basically trying to slow down the pack, but he was not... He basically breaks too late for the corner.
Well, he
locks him up a little bit.
Yes.
And then
he flat spots the wheel, for sure.
Yeah, but he is able to... Well, I don't think if he did, it wasn't very serious because he wasn't going that fast. But he does manage to beat Lewis down the straight. And once he's in the lead again, he's going to run away.
And I think the big help is that Red Bull now has the F-duck, where if they didn't, McLaren probably could have gotten down the straight.
Yeah, may have made a difference, definitely. And or if McLaren had gotten their update that they expect to have at Silverstone with their, force, with their new exhaust, that may have made a difference too. So, very interesting. But again, at this point, we're kind of rolling back, kind of falling back into the procession once we get going again.
Well, not only that, but I'm looking at who got the shaft and who didn't get the shaft in this restart. And certainly Ferrari was just, it blew their entire race. And this is mid-season. This could be detrimental to their championship challenge. Now, on the other hand, we had two drivers that did not pit at all. They stayed out, were machismo, and I don't even know how to say bravo, bravo, bravo in Japanese, but nevertheless, Kamui Kobayashi stays out. He's in P3. And, of course, Luca Di Grassi, who's in a virgin, he's still way in the back, but he doesn't pit.
Yeah, he was probably already two laps down when he got... Or a lap down at the point. But
exactly. Lap 16, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with 1:42.059. Michael Schumacher passes Timo Glock for P18. Hip, hip, hoorah! Lap 17, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton responds with a 1:41.828. And Ferrari is beginning to figure it all out. Well, Fernando's on the horn.
Yeah, so, and knowing that, but they've got the guys back in the trailer watching, you know, the
and
replays.
And they're going, holy crap.
Charlie!
Yes, they're calling Charlie Whiting. They're saying, we've gotten jerked around here because Fernando Alonso followed the rules. Lewis Hamilton didn't follow the rules. He's still in P2, while Fernando's in P11. Something is smelling very stinky.
Yes.
It was fascinating. I just loved it. Kobayashi now is in P3, and he seems to be holding up the pack.
And he's doing a pretty good job of it.
It was very Yarner Trulli-esque.
Exactly. Truly training. But yeah, you could have thought the Sauber was a Toyota. You know, it's like,
it was exciting. But you know what? He banished it. Nobody passed him. And Kobayashi was kicking some booty. Lap 18, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:41.696. And the team is telling Lewis Hamilton to save fuel. And I'm going, what? Lap 18?
Yeah.
Don't attack. Just save fuel. Because now we have a new rule. You've got to finish the race and get back to the pits with enough for a sample. They need at least a liter. Yes.
An entire liter for a sample?
Well, you know, they've got a lot of... Those test tubes are huge.
Yeah, they must be. They're not test tubes, they're beakers.
Exactly.
But a liter?
They need a liter, Steve. They have rules. They didn't want to go with a centiliter. They went with a full-blown liter.
A half liter?
No, quit your whining, all right?
It's just like... It's an awful lot for
Lap 20. The team is telling Nico Rosberg, your brakes are about to go. Do something or you're going to die.
Yeah, well, you're not finishing the race, boy.
Exactly. And, of course, now on lap 20, it's you know, after Ferrari freaking out, Fernando, you could see steam coming out of his ears while they were driving. Some people thought the engine was going, but no, that was just Fernando steaming. I mean, just, it was pretty exciting. And listen, I love
this
Fernando.
This guy's getting me again.
But you have to admit, why is it always Lewis that does this to him?
Luck of the draw, maybe. I don't know.
I'm telling you, both of these guys need to go to the chapel and just get it out.
Yep.
But it was pretty fun. Lewis Hamilton, of course, is under investigation for passing the safety car. And it's absolutely fascinating. Lap 21, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:40.943. Kobayashi is still in P3. On lap 23, it's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Kobayashi, Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Robert Kubica. And Robert Kubica, amongst all this chaos, he's still in the same spot that he started in.
Yes.
I mean, is really good.
And that's one of those things I've noticed about Robert. It's like, you go through all kinds of stuff going on in the race. You go through the first round of pit stops, and he's usually within one or two spots of where he started.
Exactly. So,
or maybe a little further forward. It's like, it's weird.
It's karma, dude.
Exactly.
Anyway, Sebastian Buemi, Adrian Sutil, Fernando Alonso, and Nico Hülkenberg.
You know, speaking of karma, maybe that's why Ferrari's, you know, having this weekend after, you know, trying to do their pseudo test.
You mean karma?
Yeah.
Cheating a little bit here.
What you get for running a test? Well, it's not a test.
I'm sure they'll be going to the Vatican and getting a few Hail Marys.
Well, the problem is they're not going to get a lot of help from the Pope.
Why not?
He's German.
Exactly. That's the big problem. Yeah, he's probably rooting for Vettel. Holy crap! Lap 24, Kobe is 11 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton. Lap 25, Lewis Hamilton is given a drive-through penalty. Now, This all happened on lap 9. Lap 8. The accident was on lap 8. Happened on lap 9. We're on lap
27 or so. 28.
No, we're only on lap 20. They announce the drive-through penalty. So he's got 3 laps to get it done in. And Ferrari's freaking out.
Actually, I think he was penalized on the 25th lap because he ends up driving through on the 28th. Because if he'd actually been penalized on the 23rd, he would have been in violation of the rules. He would have hit.
Well, he came in and served his penalty on lap 27 at the beginning of lap 28 as he came out of the pits. And sure enough, this is my favorite part of the race, Steve.
Well, actually, you know what happened. What causes this? Is this the fact that Kobayashi is holding up the rest of the field down there in P3?
Exactly. I say Lewis Hamilton owes Kobayashi a sushi dinner for what he was able to do, holding up the back of the field
to give Lewis enough time to get in and out.
And Lewis had plenty of time and the speed to keep up with Sebastian Vettel, even though they told him to slow down a little bit to save fuel. By the time he does serve his penalty on lap 27, it's a moot point. The penalty is pointless.
Well, it's not really a penalty other than the fact that it gives Vettel a bigger lead.
That's it.
That's the only thing it did.
That's all it did. And my favorite part of the race is when Fernando calls into the team and says, okay, he served his penalty.
Where is he now?
And the team has to tell Fernando that he's still in second place. That's when it looked like it's a Mississippi Queen paddle wheel steaming down the river.
I almost think Fernando's like going to go, screw this, and just put the car on the wall.
Fernando is now livid. Now he realizes that it took so long for them, and he really doesn't understand that it's really Kobayashi and not the length of time it took the FIA stewards, and of course I want to mention Hans-Harald Frentzen, who lost his girlfriend to Michael Schumacher, who should be bitter and is not. So it's all very fascinating, but you have to admit, Ferrari finally tell Fernando, forget about it. You need to calm down and just manage this race.
We need to worry about ourselves.
Exactly. Let's just worry about us and the Pope, who's German. So we're on lap 30. Kobayashi is still in P3. I love this man. Lap 32, okay, it's getting a little processional. There's no passing. Lap 33, Sebastian Vettel is beginning to take it easy. You could tell he's just managing the race.
Yeah.
He's dropping back behind. You could see that Lewis Hamilton is beginning to catch up, but he's saving fuel.
And he's basically got a huge lead. At this point in the race, it's almost, Hamilton's going to have to put 3/4 of a second a lap on Vettel to catch him.
Exactly. And Vettel, if he wants, can pick up the pace and does. Lap 34, the Renault team starts telling Robert Kubica to cool the car. Get out
of the tow with Barrichello to make sure that he gets clean
and
flow.
And get some clean air because the car is beginning to heat up. Lap 35, fast lap to the race, Lewis Hamilton, 1:40.670. Lap 37, Lewis Hamilton going through traffic, which was sort of hectic. Some of these cars aren't pulling over.
No, knowing that the other issue you run into, especially on this particular track, is there's some spots where you really can't.
Yeah, and you have to continue until that spot comes up.
Yeah, until you can get a spot where you can get over, especially that corner at the end of the long straight. It's just there's nowhere to go.
Exactly. Michael Schumacher pits, goes with the softs, 5.2-second stop. Timo Glock and Bruno Senna, which is the traffic, causing some trouble for Kobayashi because he's in P3. He's the dude right now, and they're not used to seeing Kobayashi lap.
Yeah. Well, they see him coming up in their mirrors, they're going, wait a minute, he's one of us.
And not only that, there's so much confusion. Timo Glock hits the wall a little bit, gets a little squirrely, holds on to it, but still, it was
well,
ridiculous.
Well, he and Senna actually touch, and
it causes Senna's front wing to get knocked off a little bit, and of course that caused a puncture. to Timo Glock. And at first, I wasn't sure if it was the wing or the wall that caused the puncture. But still, a bunch of crap. They should just get out of the friggin' way.
Yeah, it's almost like a pullover and stop situation sometimes, it seems.
Exactly. Lap 38, fast lap of the race. Michael Schumacher. He's got his new tires. He's like, you know, in 32nd spot. But he makes a 140-148. Lap 39, Adrian Sutil passes Sebastian Buemi. And Fernando Alonso is stuck behind Buemi now.
Yeah. And
he was hoping that he could follow that stream that Adrian Sutil found. Didn't work.
No. And this is actually going to end up costing Fernando not being able to get past Buemi a little bit later in the race.
Yep. Lap 40, Rubens Barrichello still holding on to P5, which was very impressive.
A good weekend for the Williams. Basically, he's in P5 now. We know that he's probably going to gain a spot because we know Kobayashi is going to have to pit. The big question is kind of where is Kobayashi going to come out when he does stop for his tires?
Not only that, but he's going to pit late and he's going to have new tires.
Yeah, and is he going to...
At the end of the race.
Is he going to be able to do something with that, which could
be
interesting.
Kobayashi is back in his element.
Definitely, this strategy worked wonders for him. And, you know, this is something that other teams might want to look at.
Going with completely ridiculous strategy. Especially when you have nothing to lose.
I don't know if it's completely ridiculous, but it's a situation where it's kind of like we run the normal strategy with everybody else, or we take this kind of this really different one, and maybe this pays off. And actually, if there's no safety car, the strategy has no point because you don't get the benefit of moving ahead of the field by default.
I agree completely. Lap 40, fast lap of the race, Michael Schumacher, the 139.895. Lap 43, Luca De Grassi pits. Lap 44, it's announced that about 9 cars are being investigated for safety car infringements.
Yeah, and basically
Ferrari freaking out everywhere. It finally added up to something because they said, you know what? They looked at the film, and sure enough, there was some issues.
And they looked at timing, too. It appeared that a lot of these guys were speeding back to the pits behind the safety car, which is a big no-no. The teams are given a time for their cars to reach the pits, which basically says that their speed is going to be under X miles an hour. And if they exceed that, then they're open to penalization.
Exactly. And those people being investigated is Mr. Button, Rubens Barrichello, Nico Hülkenberg, Pedro De La Rosa, Vitaly Petrov, Adrian Sutil, Vitantonio Liuzzi, Robert Kubica, and Sebastian Buemi.
Yeah, nearly half the field.
And then all of a sudden, I looked at the times, and Kobayashi was fastest in Sector 2 with a 45.3. Very impressive. Lap 47, fast lap of the race with Lewis Hamilton doing a 139.776. Now, Lewis Hamilton is 7.9 seconds behind Sebastian Vettel.
But and of course, as soon as you notice this, Vettel starts opening the gap.
Yes, he has to. They tell him. But what I was impressed with, Kobayashi's lap on lap 47 was a 139.941. He was not holding up the train anymore.
No.
He was holding his own. The thing was working really well, and Kobayashi was the dude.
Yeah, very interesting for this car to be working so well on basically a set of tires that should be completely worn out by
now. Yeah. I mean, he's 0.5 off the fast lap of the race, which is lap 48, with a 139.418 by Sebastian Vettel. Very, very, very impressive. And, you know, lap 49 comes up. You know, we've only got 8 laps to go, and he still hasn't stopped.
Yeah, so you're starting to wonder, okay, how...
Are they going to take a penalty, or are they going to stop?
How late are they going to let this go?
It was exciting.
Well, definitely...
It was the best part of the race for me.
It's definitely giving you something to watch.
Yes. Besides Fernando Alonso steaming, this was pretty exciting. Nico Hülkenberg pulls off the track on lap 50, and... not sure what it was. There was no smoke coming from the back of the car. It could have been hydraulics.
There was
some puffs of smoke during the race.
Yeah, but actually, the replays show they looked at... He had a bunch of bodywork that had come off the corner of the car.
And it was the tire delaminating.
Tire kind of came apart on him.
Correct.
And all sorts
of issues.
Wasn't really certain whether it was the car that delaminated the tire or the delamination of the car or the tire that took out the car. But Nico was very unhappy about it. He showed some frustration, kicking the tire wall.
Which is good.
Yeah. He was having a good race. It really...
It's brutal.
Yeah, brutal to lose it that, you know, if it was the tire, then that's double brutal. If the car came apart on him, then that's just, oh, man.
And not only that, but knowing that Rubinho will get all the glory.
Again,
exactly. So, lap 53, Kobayashi pits for a brand new set of fresh tires, comes out in P9. And then all of a sudden, lap 54, fast lap of the race, Jenson Button with a 1:38.766. And on lap 56, Sebastian Buemi locks up the tires with Fernando attacking, and Kobayashi says, "I'm through." And then...
Yeah, this is the second time that Fernando's had this opportunity to get past Buemi at this point on the track.
And he doesn't.
And he isn't able to pull it off.
And he goes again wide on the next corner. Kobayashi gets by Fernando Alonso, and the whole Sauber team
is going
nuts.
They're
going, my God, we got by the steamer.
Yeah, he gets past Fernando, and you're like, okay, is he close enough to get past Buemi before the end of the race? You're like going, can he do it? Can he do it?
It was exciting, and of course he does. Kobayashi passes Sebastian Buemi on the last corner of the final lap, and as far as I'm concerned, Kobayashi won this race.
It was a definite win for the Sauber team, basically, you know, getting 8th place or 7th place.
It reminded me of Takuma Sano in the Jordan at Suzuka when he came in 4th, I think. I can't remember, but it was so exciting. It was like he won the race. Kobayashi, you are the dude, and I'm very excited. I might even get myself a Kobayashi hat when the funds are available.
When you're in Europe.
Yes, exactly. But that was very, very exciting. And, yes, let's not forget, Sebastian Vettel wins the Grand Prix de Valencia.
It's a European Grand Prix, sir.
Yeah, whatever. You know, whatever it's called. But all I know is in España, and you're right, it is the European Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton, the Teflon Kid, finishes on the podium. Jenson Button with Kobayashi pitting for tires comes in 3rd. Rubens Barrichello 4th. Robert Kubica, 5th. Adrian Sutil, 6th. Kobayashi, 7th, after passing Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Buemi. And, of course, Buemi, Fernando, and Pedro de la Rosa. It was very, very exciting.
Very exciting. 2 points-paying positions for Sauber this weekend, but good for them.
Yes. Very good for them. We always like to see the underdog do a little bit better, of course. The excitement was after the race, even though a lot of people were running to their televisions because the Germany against England game was going to start shortly, which was exciting. And, of course, England lost 4-1. So not only did Vettel win the European Grand Prix.
He won twice today.
Yes, he won twice. So keep up the good work. But very exciting stuff, of course. Ferrari freaking out, pissed off, calling it a scandal and saying that the FIA manipulated the race, which is really a turn of events for the Ferrari.
Yeah, for what the FIA used to stand for.
So it's absolutely astonishing, but anyway.
And it's kind of a pretty wild accusation because you got to think about, they did this manipulated the race on the fly like this? Come on.
Exactly. Ferrari says a scandal, and of course they say that's the opinion of fans and employees who are all in agreement. There's no other way to describe what happened during the European Grand Prix. Alonso himself was freaking out after the FIA, saying the event had been manipulated by the decisions made by the race stewards. He says it's a shame, not for us because this is racing, but for all the fans who came here to watch a manipulated race. Ferrari said we were running well in 3rd after a good start. Then the safety car came out, which wasn't good for us, but Hamilton overtook the safety car, something that I had never seen. Overtaking the medical car with a yellow flag, we were a meter off each other, and he finished 2nd, and I finished 9th. Boo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit like Lewis Hamilton at the beginning of the race when he's going, Vettel hit me, Vettel hit me. You know, it's kind of like, it's racing, guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes the chips don't fall in your favor. Sometimes they do.
Exactly. Luck has a lot to do with it and everything else. The planets, their alignment to the sun, any solar flares that might be happening that day. But also, I hate to say this, but the nine cars that were being investigated, the FIA handed 5-second penalties for safety car breach rule breaches, which, dude, 5-second penalties?
And the
why
thing being,
hand out penalties?
And the thing being is that for the majority of those...
It changed nothing.
Yeah.
They know it's not going to change nothing. It was just like... Well, you know, we have to do something to please Fernando.
You kind of get the situation feeling like they went and looked at what the finish order was and what the intervals were.
Right, and they said, okay, Fernando will move up.
And we'll make the penalty just enough to make sure nobody moves.
So, I'm a little disappointed with the FIA. I think none of these people should have been penalized. 5 seconds or not, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah, well, for five seconds, it's a waste of time. You know, if you're going to make a penalty, make it something that's going to actually affect
exactly
results. The 5 seconds is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and it's stupid.
You know, or maybe you make it five, if you're going to do 5 seconds, and fine them.
Or something.
You know,
whatever that was. Go make them hug Fernando or something, but yeah. 5 seconds, it was pointless.
Or make them buy Fernando dinner.
Well, Kobayashi needs to buy Lewis Hamilton dinner because Kobayashi was the man of the hour, and of course...
Lewis Hamilton needs to buy Kobayashi dinner because...
Correct, that's otherwise. What I meant to say. That's what I meant to say. Pardonnez-moi. And of course, Sauber said, with Kamui, we decided to leave him out and keep a very close eye on his lap times and also the traffic behind him. His performance in the race... When he was holding third, was absolutely outstanding. He was putting in some very quick laps, holding Mr. Bouton behind him. Without coming under much pressure, we should be very happy with this result. It was a great effort from the team. Of course, Kobe says, before the race, we had decided to use separate tire strategies for Pedro and me. I started on the harder ones and didn't pit when everybody else did, he said. It was great racing there at the front, but it was not easy either because I had Jenson Button close behind me. I also had a look after my tires. I was careful not to overdrive them, and after my pit stop, I only had 4 laps to make use of my fresh tires. At this moment, I had better grip than anybody else and felt I had to make the most of it. Of course, it was a risk to overtake Fernando and Sebastian Buemi. If it hadn't worked out, and I had crashed, I would have been in big, big trouble with Peter Sauber. And, of course, Michael Schumacher was freaking out because, you know, his karma wasn't doing any good.
Not a really good weekend for Mercedes on the whole.
And Schumacher came out asking for safety car clarification.
Again, we just have a whole bunch of safety car clarification.
It's a little ironic because Schumacher caused some... hoopla at the Monaco Grand Prix with Fernando, and that which called the FIA, said, okay, we're going to clear this up, and now the German is asking for more clarification. He says, our point of view is that as the safety car had passed the pits without having the cars lined up behind it, there should not have been a red light. There was a green light for a moment, and then suddenly it went red. We believe that this was a plot...
Oh, they're
against moi.
They're claiming FIA scandal again, too?
Yeah, exactly.
The FIA's...
You know, the conspiracies. But there you have it. Pretty exciting race. And, of course, the most important thing about this race, Stephen, is that Mark Webber was okay. He'll be able to race at Silverstone. After a really horrific crash.
That was a scary crash. Probably not as bad as the one that Robert Kubica had in Canada a couple of years back. But when you see the bottom of the car, basically you see the bottom of the car, then the top of the car, and then the bottom of the car again. And it basically lands on the top of the car. You worry about that driver that he's gonna get hurt. But that's why the safety cell.
Exactly. So there you have it. Exciting stuff. Lewis Hamilton is now leading the championship, and he's the Teflon kid.
He certainly dodges a bullet there. You look at the penalty and you go, well, it was probably not really the right penalty. but it not necessarily wasn't the wrong penalty. The reason it was ineffective is because Kobayashi had stretched his lead out enough to make it really a moot penalty.
Exactly. So there you have it. Kobayashi is pretty popular at McLaren.
Definitely.
And maybe take Jenson Button's place next year.
Or maybe they give him a test driver slot.
Exactly. And some people are suggesting some other weird stuff about Kobayashi and Fernando. You never know what's going on in this world. But anyway, let's go right to 50 words on the Valencia Grand Prix from the forum.
We'll start with Sihisen, and he writes, Red Bull gets their wings again. Rather too much so for a lucky Webber, who can thank the new safety regs for being able to walk away. Kobayashi at the last gets the equipment to show his skills again. Will it be Germany ahead again in a couple hours of time?
Yes, it is! Anyway, Iceman says, RBR and Vettel reign in Spain, but mum's the word as Webber crashes but doesn't burn. Phew! Who keeps the points post-race is anybody's guess. With 9 cars under investigation, Kamui Kobayashi doesn't give up and mugs Alonso and Wemi after late race pit stop. Yet again, Hamley pushes his luck and gets away with it. Best Valencia race ever.
I would tend to agree with that one. Motor Racing Fan writes, Red Bull really does give you wings. Vettel hits Hamilton and drives a very slow lap before the restart to keep the lead. Drive through for Lewis costs us all a great battle for the win. Kobayashi says, move over, Alonso. Renault, Williams, Force India, Sauber, and Toro Rosso all quicker than Mercedes. Time for a real racetrack. Bring on Silverstone.
From Dr. Mark Farrington, a well-timed safety car rather than rain meant a dull track delivered an entertaining race. Bravo, Aussie Grit, and hurrah, Kobayashi. There aren't many happy Spaniards or Australians this evening, and that little worm working in Fernando's brain won't go away, even if the penalties work out for him.
Mallory writes, finally a good race at Valencia. Bravo, Kobayashi. 500th race for Lotus and 500th post for me.
Baumgartner fan writes, just when I was about to give up on Kobe, congrats to the third oldest man of the sea for coming fourth, which is something Team Willy needed badly. It's Le Mans deja vu for Marky Mark Webber.
He writes, at last, Kobe shows what he's capable of. I think Clark will agree he should be given Alonso's seat.
Okay. Guys, I'm a Renault fan, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think Kobayashi should be given Petrov's seat?
Absolutely! That's the key word right there. Keep up the good work, Stephen, for keeping an open mind. From Auto Racer 5, Webber thought he could outdo Christian Fittipaldi's performance at Monza in 1993 with his wreck. Glad he's okay. I think Auto Racer 5 is just flaunting his knowledge of Formula 1. Sacré bleu!
Koala writes, thankfully Mark Webber is okay after Big Prang. A boring race, not much else to say. Hopefully Silverstone with its revamped layout will be better.
From Miguel, way down in Portugal, a sandwich race. A boring race with interesting bits at each end. Kobayashi has wings and is brilliant. And of course, last but not least, from Frank Douglasson, Vettel and Hamilton rule the day. Kamui amazes in the Sauber. Webber attempts driving directly through Heike, spoiling Lotus's 500th Grand Prix. Shame about all the post-race penalties. Well, 5-second penalties, not much of a penalty.
Well, maybe a shame on the penalties because they really weren't penalties.
Well, not only that, but I think they should have a book of penalties that you can divvy out.
The other thing to have, too, is the wheel of penalties.
Exactly. Well, that's a good idea, Stephen. Thank you. That's it. The next program, we will come out with the wheel of penalties because this 5 seconds is junk. I want to see severe penalties.
Well, 5 seconds would be one of the spots on the wheel, but, it only shows up like once. You've got
once
drive-through penalty, stop-and-go penalty, fine,
I want to see severe penalties where one team has to buy, you know, 1 year's worth of Stella for another team. You know, serious stuff.
Pick up the catering tab for the next race.
Exactly. The foie gras has to be delivered to, you know, the Renault team. I don't know. You know, they've got to come up with some better team, better penalties than a 5 second.
Just make them more entertaining.
5 seconds. I mean, even the drive-through. They knew that the drive-through was pointless. The problem is they want. See, the FIA, they don't want to be stuck being blamed, especially by the Italian press, for doing nothing. So divvying out pointless and useless penalties sort of washes their hands of the situation, and they could just move on.
We penalized him.
I'm really disappointed with Hans-Joachim Frentzen for a German. I thought he would just...
would have dropped the hammer on him?
Drop the hammer or do something. So there you have it. A very exciting race. Of course, quickly, Mexico did lose to Argentina.
USA's out, so World Cup's over.
Not for me. I watch all the way to the end, so we're going to see Germany against Argentina. That's going to be exciting.
That should be an interesting
match. There you have it. It's going to be fun. And Mexico is on their way back to the casa down south. So great, great stuff. I can't wait for Silverstone. Keep up the good work to everyone. Certainly, thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast. Reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.